Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. State Senate leaders have disciplined Wasilla Republican David Wilson for an incident in which he retaliated against a female legislative aide. Wilson will be on probation for 3 months and was required to write a letter to the aide taking responsibility for his actions. Senate President Pete Kelly says leaders also took other actions.
We required an individual training course on retaliation and placed Senator Wilson under travel restrictions.
Kelly says Wilson must demonstrate during the probation that he understands human resources policies and the legislature's expectations for decorum. The legislature's human resources manager, Skiff Loboff, found in a report released yesterday that Wilson committed retaliation during a December press conference. Wilson said at the press conference that security footage showed he had not sexually harassed the aide during a June incident in which eyewitnesses said Wilson held his cell phone between the aide's legs. Loboff said the video showed Wilson held the phone 1 to 2 feet from the hemline of the aide's skirt. Loboff found it did not fit the definition of hostile work environment sexual harassment, but Loboff described it as an uncomfortable interaction and wrote that Wilson undermined the investigation by claiming it didn't happen. A Delta Junction man was shot yesterday during an alleged attack at a Delta home. Alaska State Troopers say 52-year-old James Lyle Mead was found shot in the stomach, lying in a snowbank outside the home of 64-year-old Travis Funderburk. Troopers report going to Funderburk's home after getting a call at around 3:30 p.m. from Funderburk's wife, who told troopers Mead had broken into their home and was assaulting her husband. It's unclear who fired the shot that injured Mead, who was transported to the hospital in Fairbanks. A trooper report issued last night says an investigation into the shooting continues, but does not say if anyone has been charged. The Defense Department has awarded a $6.5 billion contract to Boeing to oversee another expansion at the Fort Greely Missile Defense Base. According to Reuters, the Pentagon announced Wednesday that the contract will accelerate, quote, delivery of a new missile field with 20 additional silos and 2 additional silos in a previously constructed missile field. The contract runs through December 2023. Boeing officials also said Wednesday the company had met its commitment to an earlier expansion that brought the total number of ground-based interceptors at Greeley to 44 by the end of last year. Legislation to be introduced tomorrow in Juneau would provide a way to pay off a hefty tab of state-owed oil and gas tax credits. The Walker administration proposes selling bonds to pay $800 million in cash exploration and development credits overdue to smaller North Slope oil companies.
It's in everyone's interest to try to work through these tax credits and get them paid and off the state's books as quickly as possible.
State Tax Division Director Ken Alper says getting the credits off the smaller companies' books is equally important.
Because a lot of them are in default on one or another of their loans, awaiting payment on these credits. And once they can clear up their own balance sheets, they'll be able to start borrowing money again and do more oil drilling activity in Alaska.
Alper notes that the bonding proposal does include discounting the face value of the cash credits.
It's going to depend on the individual tax credit and when the company would expect to get paid from the state. The bond bill that we'll be introducing on Friday has a formula in it that says the further in the future your expected payment would be, the less you'll be offered by the state to purchase it, because there'll be a discount rate with a X number of years built into it.
It's not appropriate that we're attaching strings to a bill that we owe.
Senate President Pete Kelly of Fairbanks says how the discount provisions are handled will determine his level of support for the proposal, but he's optimistic.
I think it's a good faith effort for him to get those off the books.
The bonding plan could also affect another avenue for industry cash credits. Under an oil tax credit reform bill passed last session, the credits can be used to pay back tax settlements, like a pending $165 million agreement the state and Trans-Alaska Pipeline owners announced in December.
The back taxes, they were not known. They were not part of our ongoing revenue picture.
Senator Kelly says he's unsure if the settlement was anticipated when the industry-friendly amendment was added to the bill.
I don't remember if that was the case.
Pipeline owner companies like BP, ConocoPhillips, and ExxonMobil being able to buy credits to pay the settlement is significant because smaller companies might sell them at a discount if there's no other avenue for redemption. The state's Alper says the administration bonding proposal could provide that.
The state's offer, in some ways, is going to set the floor for what the offers to purchase credits might be from the industry.
Alper emphasizes that the credits were offered to drive new companies to explore, and the state wants as much of their value as possible to go to those companies. For the first time in 29 years, Ice Alaska will not be hosting an ice carving event this winter. The nonprofit's board of directors made it official last night by canceling plans for a smaller youth carving event the organization had hoped to stage in March. As KUAC's Tim Ellis reports, the organization will instead focus on bringing back the World Ice Art Championships next year.
Ice Alaska Board President Hank Bartos says his fellow board members had no choice but to cancel the Bill Stroker Foundation Youth Amateur Classic, an ice carving event they'd hoped to hold in lieu of the World Ice Art Championships, which the board canceled late last year due to a loss of sponsors and other financial woes. But Bartos says the effort to stage the alternate event also fizzled.
The reason we're not having the event this year is because of lack of funding, lack of support.
Board members said during a meeting Wednesday they knew it would be a long shot to organize the Stroker Youth Amateur Classic on short notice during January. They also agreed the public may have soured on the event because of disputes between Ice Alaska and Dick and Wah Brickley, the former organizers of the World Ice Art Championships and owners of George Horner Ice Park, where the event's been held since 2011. Bartos says the allegations of wrongdoing and threats of lawsuits between the two parties contributed to Ice Alaska's failure to meet its goal of raising $50,000 by the January 31st deadline.
It is disappointing. It was disappointing to me especially because I wanted to see it go on.
It's also a disappointment to the fans of the annual ice carving championships who come from around the world to marvel at the elaborately sculpted and illuminated blocks of ice. And it's disappointing to the business community that's benefited from the injection of tourist dollars during an otherwise slow time of year. The Brickleys reportedly intend to stage their own ice carving event in March. And Steve Bryce, an ice carver and ice Alaska member who was at Wednesday's meeting, says that event probably contributed to the lack of donations for the Stroker Youth Amateur Classic.
Right now, the community is confused. They don't really know what's going on.
But, says board member Steph Clymer, the Brickleys event won't be called the World Ice Art Championships because Ice Alaska now owns the rights to that title.
The name belongs to us. We've gone after it. We've sealed that down, and we want to keep it.
Ice Alaska intends to use the name again next year when the organization plans to bring the event back and stage it at the Tanana Valley Fairgrounds. Bartos and the other board members all agreed that's now their top priority.
We're a new organization. You know, we've got a lot of good-spirited people that want to get behind it and want to make it happen. And I think the community will be proud of what this organization does.
Bartos figures it'll cost at least $500,000 to stage the Ice Art Championships. He says board members are already working on plans to recruit volunteers and line up sponsors.
It's going to take a lot of work and a lot of support, and we have got to have the community behind it.
Board members agreed Wednesday that building community support will depend largely on ensuring the public knows that Ice Alaska is determined to put the controversy behind it and to operate transparently from now on. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
And I'm Dan Bross.